Okay. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so what I want to talk about, or at least start talking about today, is a famous philosophical problem that bothered all the Baalei Machshava, which is Mehechan Koach HaTfila. Now, I hope that, let's assume that Lesman de Pollock, that on a certain madriga, the reason we daven to Hashem is not because, you know, we want a shiny new red bicycle, or even, you know, like the justification for having an institution of davening is not only, because we want things from Hashem, but is an important ruchnius experience in and of itself. And lechora, it would be worth it to daven even if you didn't get anything that you wanted to daven for, because it's a connection to Hashem. It's a meat of the Melech, as Rav Chaim so beautifully explains, etc. All that is beautiful in terms of machshava, musar, in terms of musar, etc. Nothing to do with real difficult tashkafic questions. The difficult question is that it's clear in the Makoros that we believe that tefillah is not only a good idea and a nice spiritual experience. It's clear in the Makoros that we believe that tefillah works. I don't think that any Jew can really argue and say, no, tefillah is just a nice experience, but it doesn't actually accomplish anything. I think it's clear that we believe that tefillah accomplishes something. Obviously, as Chazal tells us in many places, that doesn't mean anything you daven for automatically gets answered, right? That's kind of even tefillah that you're not allowed to do, and that's, you know, very childish way of thinking. But nonetheless, even if we don't totally understand why sometimes Hashem grants tefillah and sometimes He doesn't, we believe that tefillah has the koach that it will somehow have an effect, and what you want might be granted. And this is famously difficult. Why? For how many reasons is it difficult to understand why tefillah should be answered? Why tefillah should have koach? Not why tefillah is a good idea. That pashut tefillah is a good idea. But why tefillah should have koach?
Merit-wise, if you didn't deserve it before, why do you deserve it?
Okay, exactly, right? I mean, if we assume that Hashem runs the world, right? Not that runs the world with wisdom, ultimately, even merit. You could be broader than merit, right? Let's say my kid wants a taffy. So he asked me for a taffy. Why might that work? That might work because I sometimes just decide based on time, how I'm feeling, you know, whatever, like influences on me, peer pressure. So I don't want to give him a taffy, but if he nudges, I'll give him a taffy because I don't always do things b'chachma. But if Hashem always does things b'chachma, then he has a reason. In His divine plan, you deserve things based on your zechuyos or averos or based on whatever other factors, right? We know that good don't always prosper and the wicked don't always suffer. But obviously Hashem has His reasons in His chachma why He gives everyone exactly what they deserve or what they need according to His plan. So nudging Him is not going to change His mind because He does everything b'chachma. Okay, any other reasons why it seems difficult to understand how tefillah can have koach? Right, and everything has a gzera. What might be another reason that my son might ask me for a taffy? But maybe it's because I really shouldn't give him a taffy, but I will anyway. But that's not shayach to Hashem. Hashem does everything based on what He thinks He should. What's another reason my son might ask me for a taffy?
Maybe it's bad for
him. What? Maybe it's even bad for him to have a taffy, but if he nudges, I'll give in. But Hashem shouldn't do that, right? but let's say taffy is good for my son to have a taffy. Why might my son have to ask me?
Because
I didn't know he wanted a taffy, right? How do I know he wants a taffy until he tells me, right? Meaning, there's a reason we ask people for things all the time. Because they don't know what we need. Maybe they're very happy to help us out, but they don't know what we need until we say something. Right? but obviously it's not shayach to Hashem. Because Hashem knows everything. In fact, Hashem knows what I need better than I know what I need. I might be mistaken. I might have a shtus. I might not know what I really need. But Hashem knows everything better, and He has all His reasons. It just doesn't make sense that I don't have to tell Him anything, and I don't have to nudge Him. It doesn't make sense that I should have to tell Him. Again, it might make sense if it's nice for me, but it doesn't make sense that I should have to tell Him what I want. And this, everyone in the world asks this kasha, just to like, few people, I didn't bring all the kashas on the Makoros sheet, because then I could bring a million Makoros with just the kasha. Now I brought some of the answers, but if you just skip to number 7 for a second, the Maharal says, Yeshol anatfila, Right, that's what Donnie said first. Right, the famous kasha. If someone's right to get something, then he'll get it. And if he's not right to get something, nudging God doesn't help. Okay. Okay. And if you look at number one, start from the Sefer Yikarim, he says the same thing. Okay, without getting into that, Nakuda, that people have started questioning the efficacy of tefillah, similar to the reason they question divine omniscience, that you get into a miman of shach, im shenigzer Hashem tov ma'al ishma lo nigzer. Either Hashem was gozer, you should get something or not, same as the Maharal just said. V'im nigzer in tzarech tefillah, v'im lo nigzer, I told tefillah, shanas rosh Hashem, nigzer al tefah shor lo nigzer. If Hashem wants you to have it, you'll get it. And if He doesn't want you to have it, and you're not going to change His mind by nudging Him. Shelo yishan Hashem in a ratzon, lo ratzon, v'lo mi lo ratzon, or ratzon. Right? You're not going to change His mind. Lo ishel v'chazev v'en adami yisnecham. Hovar is a yom rishlo, yol kosh kishon amaysa, el shi yilon mi Hashem bavur tova. That's what they say, doing actions can never actually get you anything from Hashem. V'chin yom rishlo tola, tfi lasik tov ma'ali natsum rashin gizolav. And they say, davening won't help you get something good. Might be a mitzvah to say, but it won't actually work. It won't help you get anything good or save you from anything bad that was nitzar alav. So that's the famous kasha, which is Hashem already has a plan. He knows b'chachma what He's going to do. But said that b'chachma what He's going to do. Why do you have to nudge Him? Not to mention the fact that why do you have to tell Him everything if He knows already? Okay. So what's the answer? Anyone? What's the answer? Why does tefillah work philosophically? So the most classic answer. I didn't bring down everyone who says it. The most classic answer that most mepharshim say is that tefillah is not for not to change Hashem, chas v'shalom, it's not for Hashem, not to help Hashem make the decision, to change us. And Rafi, what do you mean by that? So let's say, chas v'shalom, someone's sick, and they daven to Hashem to heal them. So how does davening make them get better? It changes them, and then?
They're not the same person. They're
exactly, it changes them, obviously it changes you for the better, right? Right, doing other things. We know the list of all kinds of other things change you for the worse. Tefillah changes you for the better. And it's mistaber that if you become better, then now, of course, look, we don't know exactly how better you have to be to get each particular thing from Hashem and all the factors. But in general, right, in general terms, it's an axiom, it's a dover pashut, that the better you are, the more schar you get from Hashem. And therefore, it maybe the way tefillah works is indirectly. It's not that your davening to Hashem does anything, but your davening changes you, and then your zoche for greater schar. Okay, hold that thought for a second. Let's just see the Sefer Yikarim. That's the right question to ask. The Sefer Yikarim continues. Because the Shefa from Hashem goes on to you when you're in a certain madriga to receive it. When Hashem goes around something, that's if you're in a madriga to receive it. If you're not in that madriga, then you're it's your own fault. You're losing it. He's using just a physical mashal as a mashal b'alma that Hashem is gozer that you make a lot of money. Okay, this is not like Mr. Emilio, this is like him. Hashem is gozer, you make a lot of money in your farming and you don't plow or plant anything, then he'll give you all the rain and all the hatzlach and you won't make anything, and it's your own fault because Hashem wanted to give you something and you weren't on the madriga. Okay, that's a mushal from physical action. But ulfizek, shenigzer al adon tov ma'hinim nigzol madriga yidum ekishon amayza. Now, bring it into the spiritual realm. If Hashem was gozer, you should get something good. That is, if you're on a certain madriga of goodness, of good deeds. V'zek kal yudei Torah. That's the whole point of chavra onish in the Torah. V'chein shenigzer al ra ma. And like if Hashem is going to something bad on you, that's your certain madriga of badness. Right, so if you change your madriga, of course, Hashem will change his gzera, because the way Hashem's work is chayva onus. So you're not changing Hashem's mind, you're changing you. And then Hashem, of course, knows if you're a different person, then he has to, then according to his chachma, he gives you a greater reward. And that's why tefillah and mice and tovim work. Notice tefillah is basically, it's similar to other mice and tovim here. Right? It could be that tefillah doesn't, you know, have a unique special power that other mice and tovim don't. It's just an example of a kind of mice and tovim that makes you better. El she yochanim is pala kabel shefa tov or levak min aradin zor lav to prepare you be on drega to get good or not get bad. Who yosem mishtan medrigas harashi yaba. There's no time to remezel. It's so far because of mashes. Eos lo yimas follow Hashem latzil v'rasa lo yimeichat on levatim lo v'zera. Yavazot Sofer said to Eov, as we know, all the Mepharshim is different from Shaftim, what all of the different people in Eov said. It's hard to figure out based on Shaft alone. That's his theory. V'zesha amr lo matachin yosu l'bchal farasi lo kamecha im avim gerchach v'keyu. Ki oz tisaf anech amim bo am kolomer matachin l'bchal l'shvalo sakim asechi in tisafik shal yedi tefilo kishon ha-maisa. Tumole min atzor esal lalu v'zegi sparsha tefilo kishon ha-maisa. Mo l'vak l'gzir b'chal eis. Chen yomar v'sein uzal yofa tzak lodim in kadim gizardin me'in ach gizardin. The aim lahak shows v'lomer chishtana rotz Hashem Israel leitfila. And now you can't ask the question: how can you know Hashem? Are you going to change Hashem's mind to do daven? Shekachi rotz Hashem itchelus iskay medzir v'yosvoso madri v'yoso achanim v'shtana chanashtana zera. You're not changing Hashem's mind. You're not nudging Hashem. He's not a person who changes his mind when you nudge him. Is that originally in Hashem's mind k'viyachol was that if you're on this madriga you get X, if you're on that madriga you get Y. If you move yourself to a different madriga, that's not changing Hashem's mind. That was what he thought you deserved all along if you would be on that madriga. And that is the simplest answer that most Mepharshim take to understanding the power of tefillah.
Svashma from the Pasuk day calls from Sefer Yisrael, he understands that tefillah works the same way as Tshuva does, because of course the Matah can also...
Right, and that's why he always puts it together in a pair here, right, in a duet with Kishron HaMaisa. For the Sefer Karmi, if you take this approach, then tefillah is very similar to Tshuva, Maisa, and Tobin. Meaning it's not that tefillah has some unique co-op within it. There's no magic in tefillah. Tefillah is just an example of Ma'asim Tovim. Now, it happens to be, it could be, that, you know, it's qualitatively, tefillah is no different from Tshuva, and it's no different from Talmud Torah, and it's no different from all the other mitzvahs. Quantitatively, it could be a particularly concentrated and effective one. We all know that if someone davens properly, so quantitatively, that could have more vashpa on them than if they, than if they give tzedakah, or if they shake a lulav. So it could be that, you know, tefillah gets to your heart and it's easier to have hashpa on you. But b'ikaron, fundamentally, qualitatively, it's not, has no special power that other things don't.
But what would you say if, let's say, there's a cotton who doesn't have a virus or something like that? So he could still be this bala, even though he's not repairing an old situation?
No, because he could always rise to a higher level of goodness, no? He could always go to a higher level of tov. Not only to get out of a level of ra, it could also be to a level of tov, no? He could always get to a higher level of tov.
No,
that's one example. Let's take you tempted.
Does it matter if you hold tefillah as a mitzvah or not?
No, it shouldn't matter if you hold tefillah as a mitzvah or not.
Then it's mishana you because emotionally.
It's mishana you because, you know, again, so maybe you're coming from this, you know, brisker, you know, late 20th century yeshivish idea that anything that's not a halachic halos doesn't count as spiritual. And we understand why the Rav and other people said that for good reasons. Maybe we'll be mamakin at one time. You know, it's a necessary corrective to going to the other extreme. No one in Judaism ever thought that throughout the Doros, that everything had to be halachic halos or else it had nothing to do with Hashem. No, even if davening is not a mitzvah, I mean, so at least a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But even if it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, and even before it was a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and even for Bnei Noah, who was for sure not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, everyone knows that davening to Hashem brings you to a higher level of ruchnius. Even for Bnei Noach, and it's not a chalos for them because it's just it's inherently spiritual.
Is meditating or going to a forest has the emotional effect on you? Do the same thing? Because you're going to be a different person.
Could be. Now again, once we have the halachic system, so you have to make sure to work within the halachic system because working not within the halachic system is its own danger. But yeah, in Echanami, right? Again, I know meditating. When the Breslovers talk about esbozos and going to the forest, I think they're actually davening. So they're not really doing anything so funky. They just make it sound very funky by going into a forest and calling it esbozos. But really, it's just a very basic idea. So I asked some Breslov, explain to me all these crazy ideas you do now with esbozos and going to the forest. I mean, weirdos. Oh, he says it means we have this tremendous chiddush that you have to talk to Hashem. I wasn't sure what the chiddush that was. I thought that was Pashup Shad and a mitzvah say d'oraisa according to the Rambam, and according to some, and in the Eistar, even according to the Rambam, and nowadays for sure everyone's the Eistar, even if you don't like the Rav. So I didn't see what the big chiddush of the Breslovers was. The only big chiddush of the Breslovers is that they like forests, and other people, you know, they like forests because they like to talk to God out loud, and you don't want everyone hearing, so you go to a forest. And regular people like to talk to God in whispers also, so they have no problem doing it in the basic Knesset. So it's just because Breslovers are loud and regular people are quiet. But philosophically, I understood the whole Breslov thing is not really a chiddush. They're just normal people. They just like to do things louder than us. Okay. And obviously, yeah, if I want to talk to God at the top of my lungs, I would also go to a forest. I don't want everyone hearing. All right. Anyway, so that's Breslov, the camera's late. Just agav, it's worth pointing out, how exactly does tefillah make you a better person? So I think it's clear to you, it's not just it happens to you, let's say. How does tefillah make you a better person, anyone? What about davening brings you to a higher madrigo very effectively? What is davening, how does it change you?
Change your perspective on
priorities. So could be change your perspective on priorities. That is not the most common approach. That is where Rav Hirsch famously says it changed your perspective on priorities, which is very, very fascinating. All these things have not been us for like Maizim Kol Yom and Tefillah. Rav Hirsch says, this is from the 19 letters, says, avodah to the service of God, it means to turn away from the ambitions, the occupations, the sins, which mainly constitute our material existence, and to strive to regain the eternal verities of higher life, and they have gone astray from us in the deceptions, errors, conflicts, and temptations of the world. Avodah, halev, heart service, our sages love to call true devotion, is to fulfill the will of God towards our inner parts. Interesting, says avodah, the lathe. He doesn't say he's using a lathe in avodah. He means doing avodah on your lathe. Like fixing the avodah, fixing your lathe. That's how he reads avodah halev. Interesting read of the drush of Chazal. Right, most people think that the Torah says, well, avodah halev comes with feelings, use your lathe to be ovid Hashem. He's not denying that. He's adding a knesh. No, be ovid Hashem by fixing your lathe. Ennobling our unseen power or character. Tefillah praise our chief form of serving the Supreme One in the present age, but the Hebrew conception of prayer is not the mere request for petition for divine aid, nor even a mere ecstasy of devotion and adoration. Interestingly, says, not only is it not nudging Hashem, it's not even feeling a spiritual high. It means the possession, expression of proper conceptions and resolutions turning our own personality or duties towards God, the world, and mankind. For him, not only is it not a kindergarten like, I want a bicycle, it's not even feeling a spiritual high. It's thinking about everything in your life and putting it in a priority, in a seder of proper avodas Hashem. The temple sunk to ruins, but the living word of worship and instruction remains completer ever than in former times, because the symbolic rites of sacrifices must be represented also by it. The aim of our worship, tefillah from hispalel, is the purification, enlightenment, and the lifting our inner selves to recognition of the Most High and our duty towards the truth, not mere stirring up of the emotions, swiftly vanishing devotion, empty sentimentalism, unreasoning tears, but the cleansing of bone and heart. Okay, a little harsh towards those people who see it more as a spiritual high, but I don't think he's against the spiritual high, but he's saying it's only valuable if it leads to a real recognition of the point of life and your priorities and your direction. It's really much more of a meditation on, obviously not a secular meditation, but a meditation of what am I doing in the Vodas Hashem, what should I be doing, what's the point of my life, where do I have to go? He hints here at a famous parish he has in Bereshis Afchav. He says, tefillah from his palel, I don't know if everyone knows this, one of the godlesses of Rav Hirsch, both the godless and the Achilles heel of Rav Hirsch, is his grammar. He has a vart, which is not found in most of the portion of any ilk, which is that you can explain, this is not such a radical example, you can explain, like every shoresh, by the shoreshim it's similar to. And that's a very fundamental hanacha of his in explaining the chumash. This one, Taka, is not such a radical one, because he's only explaining shoresh by comparison to another word with the same shoresh. Not by saying, like, you know, like two words that sort of sound a little similar to the same. Here he's saying, hit palel, anyone knows, in chumash, where do you find the root word of hit palel? What's the root word of hit palel? Hit palel is palal, right? What does the root word palal mean in chumash? To judge, right? How do we know that? It says in Parsha Mishpatim, vinasan biflilin, right? Then we have Ufililo Elokim, that's not in Chumash. So, Rav Hirsch says, very poshut, this is actually not a radical drash. He says, if Palel is to judge, then I know, we're all yeshivas here, so it's us to know too much diktuk, but that's also an invention of the late 20th century. In the old days, the more yeshivas were, the more diktuk, you know. What does the hit pile form mean? Right, hit something, reflects it, right, to do it to yourself. So Rav Hirsch says, very poshut, this he Milrami's to in the 19 letters. I don't have the text on the computer of Bereshit Afchav, but he's in Bereshit Afchav. Hit palel, pashup shot is to judge yourself, right? Hit palel. That's not even radical. I think anyone would like that methodology. Right. So there it says different because that's vayipalel, not vayit palel. That he judged Hashem to be yocho. You know, he judged with Hashem. But it says in the, I think he would say, by follow means he exercises judgment as to what was the right tapkin for him at this time.
And that shows that tefillah and chalila.
Oh, correct. That's a mucker for a hearse. Anyway, so our hearse thing, very pushit. Tefillah rises your madrega, because real davening, you know, is obviously we all know real davening is not mumbling words. That's a devar pashut. But what is real davening? So he says real davening is not feeling high. Real davening is having the right values and priorities and like rededicating your whole life in the exact right direction. That's to judge yourself. It's fascinating, according to Rav Hirsch, this is the very famous question, which is, you know, if you ever deal with high school kids, sometimes high school kids ask really dumb questions, which you just have to answer nicely when you've hired them. But like, you know, like eventually they'll realize that was a dumb question. You know, like 98% of all questions asked by all high school kids are why do we have to be Shomer Negiyah and things like that. But sometimes high school kids ask really, really good questions, like the classic question of why do I have to say all these brachos in Shmona Esrei? You know, and that's not what I'm interested in. I want the Mets to win the World Series, or I want my team to win the varsity championships, or whatever. Or I want, you know, to get a ticket to the rock concert that's very hard to get. You have to be the first 10 callers, or whatever it is. You know, what?
That's not a simple question.
What? No, but the question's fine. Whatever. This is what I want. You know, why do I have to dive for all these other things in Shmona Esrei? So I think Rav Hirsch would say that, no, that there's very, I mean, there are many different ways to answer that, but what Rav Hirsch would say is, no, that's the point. The point of davening is not to express what you want to Hashem. Obviously, it has to be part of it, it has to be honest. But the point of davening is to think about what you want and figure out if you're wanting the right things. So it makes a lot of sense that Chazal gave us the 13 things we're supposed to ask for. It's supposed to make us think about if these are the 13 important things in life or in history, then how does what I want compare to these 13 things that Chazal told me are important to want, and I should be reordering my priorities in terms of these 13 things that were approached. It's very meduyik that we have a fixed nusach for Shmona Esrei, because the point is not to just care about what I want. The point is to think about what I want and whether it's what I should be wanting. And that's great by comparing it to these 13 things. So either I'll see that it does fit in with them, and then I'll be able to put it in the right perspective, or I'll see it doesn't fit in with them, and maybe I'll change my mind about what I want.
Why is this meditative process done to the form of bakasha? And why is it desiring as Hashem?
Ah, because it's not a secular meditation. The point is that when I'm talking to Hashem, everyone knows that depending on who you're talking to, you think a little more deeply or less deeply about, right? So everyone knows lahavdil elif alfei alafim havdalos. You know, if some guy started asking me questions about my life, I would answer. You know, if I was being interviewed for Mavasser, I would think very carefully because I knew the whole public was reading it, and I really sometimes I would think so carefully that I would actually realize that no, I was off a little. I have to change my formulation a little because of the pressure of thinking so carefully. And if a big gadol or someone very important started asking questions, you would think a lot more deeply about what the right answer was, and you would be like a little embarrassed to say the stupid answer, you know. And so when you're talking to Hashem, especially if the whole point of life is avodas Hashem, right? So Hashem's the right person, not the New York Times. So if you're talking to Hashem, it really makes you think more deeply and properly. Why bakashot? Because bakashot are the language for expressing. Bakashot are the language. I mean, he might admit there's also other lessons that teaches us when we're mivakish from Hashem. But bakashot are the language of what of needs.
This may be a bad question, but it's such a powerful emotion and it's so basic. Why isn't it nobody said it before?
So interestingly, so first of all, it could be because like it was obvious. But it could be, here's the other point. I think a lot of Mepharshim have a different way of understanding why tefillah is so important. Again, none of this is lafuki, because, I mean, who could argue a person's idea, right? It's like baseball, motherhood, and apple pie. No, I shouldn't, like, think about the right priorities in life and how I should be a good Ovid Hashem. Right? So, obviously, it's not like Minakasa, someone says, no, a person's idea is totally wrong. The question is a matter of emphasis, right? I don't think anyone would deny that it's a good thing in davening that makes you think about, you know, what your priorities in life are. But the question of emphasis, I just quoted a little Chovas HaLevavos. I went way back to the Gaon, but you find it similar, you can say, for Chinuch and most other Mepharshim, the three. For Amar Alechem, that Tzadikim, Shagi Omer Achat Tfilah, so, V'lo Datichem Tzar Chila Eros Chalein. Right, one thing you can say, Hashem, I didn't damage you to tell you what I need to tell you. Elisha Argish Begodo Chasroni Lechem B'tchoni Bach. that what's the point of davening, and here specifically it's on bakashos. The other derech that refers is that the point of davening is not, again, not lafuke, because sukkah lafuke, a nice idea. But the point of davening, the way it makes me a better person, is not because it makes me think about my priorities in life. Maybe that I'll do after davening or before davening. The point of davening makes me a better person because I recognize that everything comes from Hashem, and I look to Hashem for what I need, right? We all have needs in this world, right? We all have our needs, and davening makes me a better person because may I have needs. So instead of just having needs and worrying and wanting and needing and hoping, what I'm saying every time I daven with bakashas to Hashem, and here's Rebbe doing it, is that everything I need comes from Hashem, and that I have faith in Hashem, and I hope that Hashem will give them to me, and it just makes me realize, it reminds me, not makes me realize philosophically, right, as Mesil Sharm says. You can know something philosophically, but you have to remind yourself often. It makes me realize that everything's from Hashem, and it allows me to connect everything, use everything in my life as a way of connecting to Hashem. That's the Cholos HaLevav says. Sefer Chinuch also mentions that when it comes to davening as one of the themes of davening. So I think most people understood it, maybe for Eitan's reason, Donnie. Because it expresses a bakasha, so most of the Mefarshim understood how does davening make me a better person? Because I recognize that everything, I remind myself that everything comes from Hashem, that I have to look to Hashem for things, and therefore connect me more to Hashem. Because one thing to say, oh, God created the world. Wonderful, it's very abstract connection to Hashem. God is all-powerful, very abstract connection to Hashem. But when Chas V'Shalom, when someone's sick, and they look to Hashem, that's a very strong connection to Hashem. Even when someone's healthy, and they realize not to be an idiot, and that even healthy people need to look to Hashem to preserve their health. That's a much more intense emotional connection to Hashem. So I think, not that anyone didn't like Rav Hirsch's idea, but Rav Hirsch's idea is perhaps not as meduyik in the language of the bakashos in the davening. So most people like the Sefer Chinuch's idea.
I saw the idea of Rav Hirsch in the Sefer Ksav of Kabbalah, of one of the Tamir
Rebbe,
and he adds also, that's why his father is also a Lashon Hizkoyah, because the Rebbe works the same way.
Aha, uh-huh, excellent. That's a nice art.
According to Rav Hirsch, doesn't he, I mean, he says, why should you request other things other than
That is a very fascinating question, which is, one of the things of a lot of these things is, like, what should you be asking for? And this is the best high school question. Every year, I get the same question from a high school kid, from a really sincere high school kid. Says, I really, really, really want to win the varsity championships against Ramaz, basketball against Ramaz. But I know that's shtus, but I really want it. So should I, like, daven to Hashem to win the varsity championships, because that's really what I want? Or should I not, because I know that it's not really important? That's a very fascinating question. The high school may never know the answer. It's like, on the one hand, like, it's not really important when you can tell Hashem bar basketball. On the other hand, but if that's where you're holding, then that's your way of connecting to Hashem. After all, nothing's important compared to Hashem, but nonetheless, you know, we have to connect where we are. And this guy will have a much better connection to Hashem if he asks Hashem for basketball than if he asks Hashem for Tzemach Dovid Avdech, which he doesn't even know what it means. So that's Taka, a good question. According to Rav Hirsch, I think the answer would be Pashut. No, in davening, you should be thinking about what you really want to ask for, and maybe it should be an opportunity to shift your focus from the basketball championships. And again, the ideas aren't mutually exclusive, because everyone admits all the ideas are nice. But according to Kol HaSalvavos Udime, I don't know, it could be that whatever you're worried about now, whatever's going to be in your mind, whatever you're going to be obsessing about for the next week, you should use that as a means of approaching Hashem and say, look, we know basketball games label up and beyond Hashem. Basketball games, we need a slach from Hashem. And therefore, when you have all this shtuyot in your head of basketball games, you can turn it towards Hashem instead of having to be just a shtus. The Derech Hashem, in his second aspect of explaining davening, says something very, very, very beautiful about an expansion of the Derech Chovos Alvavos. If you look at 6 in the Derech Hashem of the Ramchal, Beis, we'll have to come back to Aleph, because Aleph is more challenging. Beis, v'amnam omot yoshi yesh v'inyam v'hu ki hinei adon baruch hu nasal adam deyal yos menahik atmo v'olom asecho v'tfuna v'hemis ha'masal av liyos v'hakeach al-tzorach ha'kulot. Hashem made us do ishtadlos in the world. Right, it's Yerida that we have to be involved in Gashmias, right? We have to do a Shabbos in Gashmias. That's a Yerida. Avol Yerida mitzareches lo gemurz lo ilo echarkin kemur b'chelik aleph, which we don't have here. But ula kemosh Yerida mitzareches lo finyon b'olam hazeh, hine mitzah acher tzorch lo tarbi yoser mashu roi. Ki yine kifi mashu yirva l'starach in yonu olam kachlis rachik ben oral inu mischashif yoser. We have to do a Shabbos and live in the physical world. But the physical world drags us down and far away from the spiritual world. So what do we do? What's the solution? V'ine hichin hechen aboris baruch tikon l'zeh. He says, we have to live in a Gashmias world to be Osek in Gashmias and be worried about Gashmias. And that's necessary for reasons that are not in this quote, that are in earlier parts of the Sefer. But how do we keep from sinking in the Gashmias? He says, Davka, whatever we need in Gashmias, we dive into Hashem about to remember that it's Hashem behind all that Gashmias, and to remember that that Gashmias is really just the way that Hashem is relating to us. And basically, by bringing Hashem into all the Gashmias, by recognizing that it's all from Him, we keep ourselves from sinking into Gashmias, because we realize all of Gashmias is Gashmias, but it's just another kind of Shefa from Hashem. And if the Gashmias connect to Hashem, then that saves us, and that's the magic solution, according to the Ramchal, for how to be involved in Gashmias without getting lost and sinking into Gashmias.
So we have to dive into Gashmias so that we can forget about the Gashmias.
No, we have to dive into Gashmias so that when we go do the... Meaning, what do I dive in for Parnassah? So when I go work, I daven for Parnassah, when I say, Hashem, 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 you're the one who gives me the Parnassah. You're the one who gives me the Parnassah. So then when I go work, I remember Hashem. Because it's Hashem giving me the Parnassah, not the Kol Chivotim Yavi. So that's a brilliant idea. Okay, we're going to have to stop now because I don't want to go too late. But we've seen the mainstream derech and the mafarshim of understanding how tefillah works, which is that it has nothing to do with changing Hashem, chas v'shalom. It has to do with changing me, and obviously meikara Hashem decided, if I'm good, I get this, and if I'm better, I get that, and if I'm worse, I get that. So then, if no change at all in Hashem, it's not a philosophical problem. It's purely to work on myself. How does it work on myself? We saw it first by my priorities. So the Chovos HaLevavos and others, by remembering that everything comes from Hashem and being able to connect to Hashem and all the things that we need in life, which is more popular because I guess it's more pashut shot in the way we word the davening. What we didn't answer yet is Aaron's question, which I guess we'll have to think about until next time, which is the big philosophical problem is... if davening works by changing me, how can you daven for someone else? You didn't change them. They don't deserve anything. So we'll pick up with that. I mean, it's Hashem next time. There's a few different answers. I'm so familiar with Yom, not on the sheet, but we'll mention it about Peh. And then we'll go on to other theories as to how davening works. I mean, it's Hashem next time.
How do you understand the fact that the karbonos were once been complete and they're more optimal? But you don't see that they have the matar that feel being.
No, I think you can understand perfectly how Kabbalists are becoming tefillah according to this approach. If you go into this general approach that tefillah is to make me better, of course I can say our Kabbalists are becoming tefillah. Because what's the point of a karbon? Read the Ramban in the beginning of Vayikra, or read anyone who says Pashup Shad in. I don't mean Pashup Shad, tell you the words mean graphic. Pashup Shad, explain the idea of the basic level.
So what does that mean?
What does the karbon mean? The karbon means that we recognize that Hashem is the Ikra and that we have to be makrav everything to Hashem, and that Hashem is the most important, and everything's going to Hashem. That fits perfectly with Rav Hirsch.
Right. When they brought the Tavish HaShachar, that means all connections to Israel are supposed to have this bonus. And the fact that the Tavish HaShachar is being brought, that means... That
yes, precisely.
Uh-huh.
Now, you'll ask me, did they live up to it? It's not a fair question. They also worshipped idols. Look in Tanakh. So, hey, we know that Am Yisrael has not yet lived up to everything. But exactly, when they bring the Tavish HaShachar, that's supposed to represent... You know, maybe for the Klolius of Am Yisrael, maybe for the Pratius as well, maybe that's the difference between your Mishmar and that, and that's the role of Mishmaros and Amados. It's exactly. It's supposed to remind you of the basic Yesodos of life.
And what about Bitachon?
And what about Bitachon? So you have to say that when we used to bring the Karbonos, That also, all the bracha came from the Beis HaMikdash and remind us that Avodas Hashem brings us all the bracha, and it was a way of, when we give things to Hashem, we remember that everything's really from Hashem. So you can work all this into the Karbanos. It's really not so crazy to say that the point of Karbanos is educational, just like the point of Tefillah. As a matter of fact, it's much easier according to this approach. If the point, the way Tefillah works is by improving us, it's much easier to understand how Karbanos can substitute. You're right, we're talking about ideal Karbanos, not real Karbanos. You're telling me really there's a guy who was a Shegetz, I don't know, he was he's a bank robber and a bull Namaras and Yom Kippur, and what do the Karbanos do for him? I understand that there's a guy who's a Pasha guy who didn't appreciate Karbanos. I understand, but theoretically, a guy who really appreciated Karbanos, the Karbanos were educational for him and brought him to a higher Madrega.
Your mom's thinking we'll reverse childhood and how you're
on the page. Yeah. Again, it might be subtle difference, it doesn't have to work exactly the same way, but it's the same basic idea. I think if the other approaches to tefillah are adopted, it can be harder. If you say that tefillah has some special segula, which is not making you a better person, then Mehechi says the Karbanos have the exact same special segula. You're going to have to start explaining that. All right, but that's what it is.